Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Moments that take your breath away. Hi friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is May the 16th. My name is Rebecca, and today we are on day three of our travel article. We are in a spectacular location. We are in Hawaii. I'd like to welcome Linda to the program.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, everyone. It is great to be back.
Aloha.
Aloha. Yes.
Aloha. Linda, this is a word we often associate with Hawaii. Mm-hmm. What does aloha mean?
Yeah, so aloha, you say that when you greet someone. So it is like hello. It's also welcome. So it's a very useful word.
So if you see aloha, you are probably talking to someone who was just in Hawaii, or maybe you're talking to a native Hawaiian, maybe. Well, Linda, I'd like to start up the program, and I'd like to ask you, have you been in nature somewhere and you saw something and that took your breath away?
I think I've had many moments like that because I love nature and I love landscape and seeing beautiful sights. Like just watching a sunrise or sunset can often take my breath away because it's something that happens every day, but it's beautiful every time you witness it.
Yes. And our author of this article kind of has a similar experience, right? But here we don't, she just doesn't have her breath taken away. She chokes up.
Yeah.
Like we talked yesterday about choking up. It's like when you get so emotional, usually because something really touched your heart.
Mm-hmm. Or it also could be something that upsets you.
Upsets you.
So yes. You're just emotional and you aren't able to talk. And usually it's accompanied with tears because of the emotion that you're feeling.
Yes. And then we started our article on day one where she starts to describe feeling emotional when she's out in a canoe on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
And today in day three, we will continue that where we will talk more about being out in the canoe and also the emotions that she's feeling while she's on the canoe.
Mm-hmm. And the reasons why she could be getting so emotional. She explores like the reasons, what contribute to her getting choked up.
Yeah, it's almost like we are in her psychologist's office and she's talking to the psychologist. Why did I feel so overwhelmed with emotion? Mm-hmm. Like I feel so full of emotion at that moment. But let's continue, and we are going back to the mana, Lani, and we are going back to this experience. So friends, let's get into our first reading for today.
The next morning, during the invigorating outdoor yoga class under a massive old banyan tree, the genius of this aquaculture system kept playing in my mind. Not what I ever imagined thinking about while on vacation, but such is the uniqueness of the Mauna Lani. Out on the water in the canoe, Hawaii's five great mountains, Hualalai, Mauna Loa, Mauna Kea, Kohala on the Big Island, and Haleakala on Maui, are all visible in the distance. Tears kept rolling down my cheeks. Maybe it was a feeling of oneness in this group of resort guests as we pulled together to move the canoe forward. Maybe it was the crystalline Pacific below and the pink dawn sky above.
So here we return to the Mauna Lani. We return to the ocean where our author is paddling in a canoe. But first, let's describe her morning. So that morning, what did the author do?
Well, she went to an outdoor yoga class, and it was invigorating. So that means it gave her energy. It energized her. And she was feeling healthy and energetic. And it took place, it also relaxing because it's a yoga class. So It took place under a huge old banyan tree.
What does a banyan tree look like? We have these in Southeast Asia as well.
Yeah, so banyan trees, they can grow to be really big. They have really thick trunks and they provide a lot of shade.
So I guess the yoga class is enjoying the shade of the banyan tree. Yes. And what is she thinking about, like, while she's paddling? Like, she's
She's thinking about the aquaculture system that we learned about yesterday. In yesterday's program, the latter half, we talked about old fish ponds. And these old fish ponds are a very unique feature of the Mauna Lani because they have been around for a really long time. They've been preserved. They were cut from black lava rock, and they have this labyrinth or this like complicated system of ponds that's still maintained through a traditional way. It allows fish to come in, and small fish can return back out to the ocean, but the larger fish stay in the ponds. And the water that is in the ponds, they're a mixture of fresh and salt water.
So we learned the word brackish yesterday, right? Brackish is like the salty water. So it's not a clear, transparent water. It's brackish water. But this brackish water is perfect for the fish.
Yes,
it's perfect for the fish. And then so this whole system, or like basically the farming of fish, it falls under something we called aquaculture. So aqua just is the root. It just talks about, when you talk about aqua, it's water, right? Aqua. Anything of aqua is water. So this water culture, aquaculture, is basically the farming of sea animals and plants. And basically, you are having these farms, but instead of land, it's water. Like, it could be fresh water or it could be salt water. So that is what aquaculture system is. Like, this is basically a farm on the water.
Exactly.
So aquaculture. So she's thinking about those old fish ponds, and here we have the word aquaculture system. And she's thinking about this while she's paddling. She's thinking, oh, that is so brilliant. Linda, have you ever met a situation where you just in a place with a lot of history and you just thought, the genius of those people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just like how it would be to live during that time.
Yes.
And
yes.
to experience those things back in history.
Yes. I think one time I felt like that was many years ago. It was over a decade ago. I had the chance to visit Machu Picchu in Peru. And I think that morning, that early morning when we arrived on top of the mountain on Machu Picchu, just looking at the whole scene, you're just amazed by these ancient people who, like these people from hundreds and hundreds of years ago, who can make these incredible, who can climb so high up on the mountain and make these incredible structures. And it just takes your breath away.
Yeah.
Of course, that is a man-made structure. That's not nature-made, but that's a man-made structure. But it just, you go, the genius of those people. And there were several times during this trip to Peru where I just thought, well, the genius of those people. Another one was the way they farmed. You can see that they have these farming in concentric circles. And I think that was a way to preserve any water that can come down, that can come down from the top, because it's a very dry area with not a lot of water. So sometimes we go to different places and we're just blown away by the genius of people in the past. And this is what happened to the author. She's thinking about this whole aquaculture system that was made by people in the past. And here she goes on to talk about, this is the uniqueness of the Mauna Lani. This is not usually something you think about when you are out in nature, but being at this resort, she thinks about that. And then when she's out on the water in the canoe, she sees a lot of incredible mountains.
Yes. So the five great mountains in Hawaii are visible in the distance. They're on different, she can see one on Maui, and then there's on the Big Island, the same island that she is on. But that would just be an amazing view. You're on the water and you can see these beautiful mountains in the distance and some close to you. But yeah, that would just be a breathtaking view.
Yes, five mountains. That's a lot of mountains, right? And I just noticed that the Mauna Loa, that's the name of a brand of macadamia nuts.
Oh, yeah, macadamia
nuts that a lot of times when people go visit Hawaii, they will give you macadamia nuts as a gift.
Yes.
I didn't notice that the Mauna Loa is actually the name of
a mountain.
A mountain.
Yeah. I think on the label or the logo of the Mauna Loa macadamia nuts,
right.
There's a mountain.
There's a mountain. Yeah. I just never realized that's the name of a mountain.
Yeah.
So we have these five mountains with local names, with Polynesian names. And we go back to talking about the author. Tears keep rolling down her cheeks because here she's not sad. She's just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like she is just so emotional from this incredible scene she is witnessing. And then we go on. She starts to explore. Why is she feeling?
Yeah, she's psychoanalyzing herself now.
Like, yes.
Why am I getting so emotional? Why do I keep crying? Because it's not just like one or two tears.
Right.
The tears keep rolling down her cheeks.
Yeah. So let's explore. Let's explore with her. Let's pretend we are her psychologist. And let's explore some of the reasons she feels that so emotional.
So the first reason she comes up with is it could be feeling oneness with this group of guests that she's with. They're all staying at the resort, and here there's strangers, right, that have come together, and they're as a team, like on this canoe, they have to paddle together.
Yes.
And you have to do it in unison. That's something very important when you are paddling in a boat. So they are pulling together to move the canoe forward, right? So trying to do it in unison using teamwork.
Okay.
So it could be from, this.
In unison with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah.
That might be an incredible feeling that moves her to tears.
Mm-hmm.
And then we continue on our psychoanalytical journey. Maybe it was the crystalline Pacific below and the pink dawn sky above. This is really beautiful, right?
Yeah. So we had a description of the waters from in our first day, the first line. It was described as glassy blue.
Yes.
Right here, it's referred to as the crystalline Pacific. So these crystalline waters of the Pacific Ocean, which are clear and glistening. So it could be due to this scenery around her, this beautiful scenery. You have the beautiful blue waters of the Pacific below her, and then the pink dawn sky, the rising sun, and the colors that creates in the sky. So it could just be the picturesque view that
she... It might just be the sheer beauty of it all.
Yeah, that she's witnessing that is causing her to get so emotional.
Yes. Well, friends, we will continue our psychoanalytical journey. We will continue that in our next reading where we think of other reasons the author lists that makes her very emotional. So let's get into our second reading.
Maybe it was the raw honesty of these watermen with us, who have called Hawaii home their whole lives, for some generations of their families before. When they spoke of their cultural traditions, of safeguarding the environment, it sounded not rote, but sincere. The traditional blessing of the canoe, before we pushed the outrigger into the lapping waves, had not felt like a scripted performance. Even though they must have repeated these words countless times for countless tourists. Or maybe the tears came because the morning sun illuminated my teenage son's profile as he paddled in front of me. The sunlight gave me the vision of the independent, strong man he's becoming. A sizable portion of Mauna Lani guests are families who return year after year, and now I understand why. As we turned the canoe back toward the shore, the steersman told us that in Hawaiian, Mauna Lani means mountain reaching heaven. It's a place of transformation and tradition.
Well, so then we go into our third reason for perhaps why is she feeling so emotional. And then she's talking about the steersman or the waterman here, not just the steersman, like all the different people in the canoe. And she talks about the raw honesty. What is she referring to when she's talking about the raw honesty of these watermen?
Well, they're real. Like, they're, I don't think they're trying to sell her anything. They're real and honest, and they have, they're the locals, like they're the salt of the earth there in Kauai. They've lived there their whole lives, and for many of them, generations of their families have been there.
Yeah, here it doesn't talk about what ethnicity or what background these watermen are, or these, but it's very likely they're Polynesian.
Mm-hmm.
They're very likely that they are the local Aborigines.
Right. Their ancestors would have been, yeah, the Aboriginal people who were there before any Westerner came to Hawaii.
Yes, because here it goes on to say they spoke of, when they spoke of their cultural traditions, it talks about the cultural traditions being passed on, of safeguarding the environment. So if you safeguard something, it's to protect something.
Mm-hmm.
When do we usually use the word safeguard?
Well, if we have treasures or valuable things, we want to safeguard them. We want to keep them safe, protect them.
Right, so that's safeguarding. And it sounded not rote,
mm-hmm.
but sincere. Rote. This is a very good word.
Yeah. So if you learn something by rote, then you just memorize it. You're not really thinking about it. You can repeat it easily because you've completely memorized it without really understanding it or doing it carefully. So if you have a speech that you say, like, that you memorize by rote, like you just memorize it just to say those words, but it doesn't have any feeling or doesn't have any meaning in it. But here, the watermen, talking about their culture and their traditions and keeping their environments, like protecting their environment, they are sincere. It's not just because they memorize this speech and they're just reciting it to you.
Yes, they sound sincere. And she talks about one particular example. She talks about the traditional blessing of the canoe. So before they start rowing, like I guess when they get on the boat or right before they get on the boat, they have a traditional Aboriginal blessing of the canoe
mm-hmm.
before they set out on this journey. And then we use the word outrigger. Linda, you explained to us in day one all about the outrigger, right?
Right.
So the outrigger is the name of this kind of canoe.
Yes. So it's an outrigger canoe, OC for short. And you can have outrigger canoe that has seat for one person or two people or three people, or normally it's six people. Like, so we'd say that's an OC6 ocean. An outrigger canoe for six people. And the outrigger is special because it has this arm. It has this mm-hmm. piece that's attached to it, which also can be called the outrigger, but the boat as a whole is called the outrigger. So the people in the boat, they sit single file in a row and they paddle on one side and then they switch to the other side. So half paddle on one side, half paddle on the other side. And then when you hear hut, then you have to switch and then ho, you are on the other side.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. So this activity is called outrigging,
mm-hmm.
right? The activity itself is called outrigging.
Outrigging or outrigger canoeing.
Outrigger canoeing or outrigging. So then, okay, so she talks about these men before they got on the boat and doing this traditional blessing. She's very moved by how sincere they are.
Yeah, because it's in Hawaiian. And we actually, when I did the outrigger canoeing training in Taitung, the coach, she had us recite this Hawaiian blessing, like before we got started too. And yeah, it was quite touching.
Yeah, because you think of, I guess when you're reciting it, you're thinking of the whole history of the many hundreds of years of people repeating the same prayer or the same blessing before they get into the water.
Yeah, and the outrigger is very important to the culture because that is the mode of transportation of how they got to Hawaii from the east.
Yes, from Polynesia, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Polynesia originally and then going all the way, going east, 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 east across the Pacific and going all the way to Hawaii. It's very far. And then we continue on her journey of self-discovery. What is the next reason she lists of why she's so overcome with emotion?
It could be because of her son. She's there with her child, her teenage son, and just seeing the morning sun, the rays of the sun on his face or on his profile, she is probably, I mean, that would move a parent because you're thinking, oh, this is my son. Probably, she's probably thinking about how much he's grown. Like, he's a teenager, when he was a baby, a toddler, and now he's growing into an independent, strong man. And so just thinking about the growth of your child could get you emotional.
That's for sure, because I am an aunt, and as an aunt, seeing my nephews grow up, I get emotional sometimes thinking, for example, my older nephew, like, he'll be off to university in just 2 years.
Yeah.
I get emotional just thinking of in 2 years, he'll be out on his own. He will be ready to fly. He will be, we say it, I mean, literally, he will be ready to fly away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and also, as an analogy, he will be ready to spread his wings and, you know, live an independent life.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure you think about, oh, this little baby or this little kid that I used to take care of, like, is about to go off into the world and become independent. So
yes, and that's exactly what she says here. The sunlight gave me the vision of the independent, strong man he's becoming. And then she also gives us another interesting fact. A lot of the Mauna Lani guests, mm-hmm.
Their
families, right?
Yeah. So people coming with their families, their children, year after year, they come, they're regular visitors. And now she understands why, because of this experience that she's had. And you want to share that experience with your loved ones, with your family members.
Yes. And then she is nearing the end of this canoeing journey. So as they turn the canoe back to shore, the steersman tells us in Hawaiian, Mauna Lani, the meaning is mountain reaching heaven. Wow, that's a really beautiful name,
mm-hmm.
Mountain reaching heaven. I'm guessing mana probably means mountain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, like, we had the Mauna Loa
mm-hmm.
earlier, and we talked about the different mountains, and
yeah.
there's the Mauna Kea,
mm-hmm.
so I guess the mana must be mountain.
Yes.
So this resort.
And then Lani is heaven.
Yes, Lani should be heaven. So mountain.
Or sky, Lani.
Yes,
or sky.
Mountain, mm-hmm. a Mauna Lani. And then she ends the article by saying, it's a place of transformation and tradition, the two T's.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so transformation means something of great change, like we think of like a butterfly,
mm-hmm.
a butterfly going through a huge transformation from a caterpillar all the way until it becomes a butterfly,
mm-hmm.
and then also of tradition. So that's very similar to maybe the experience she's feeling, and also very similar to this hotel itself that has so much history.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
like so much history, like even before it became developed as a hotel, as a place with we talked about the old fish ponds that
mm-hmm.
fed the royal family, and then later being developed by Francis Brown and this Japanese corporation into a beautiful resort.
Yeah.
And then also again in 2018 when it was bought another corporation and this management company upgrading and mm-hmm. turning it into something
yeah.
beautiful.
So the Mauna Lani has undergone its own transformation.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's kept so much of the tradition that is so valuable and that is worth preserving. And I think transformation also refers to the transformation that guests have, like our author. She has this transformative experience by being here. She looks at things in a different way, and it's altered her in some way that is for the positive. And it will probably keep her coming back. She'll probably want to come back to the Mauna Lani to experience that again.
Yes, I think so. Like, here it talks about families who return year after year. Her family has returned year after year. And I think with experiences like she wrote here, I think she will continue to go back to the Mauna Lani.
And that can become her tradition. So they're like creating
she's
a
making
new
a new tradition. Yeah. Perhaps that'll become her children's tradition in the future too.
Yeah.
To keep coming back to the Mauna Lani. Linda, are you sold on the Mauna Lani?
I'm definitely sold with going to the Big Island.
Yes.
Going to Hawaii Island and also other parts of Hawaii that I haven't been to. I would love to check out these fish ponds.
Yes.
They sound really cool and interesting. And yes, I would love to do the outrigger canoeing in Hawaii where it, you know, originated and be able to experience that on the ocean in the Hawaiian waters. And just as a teaser, in a future month, I will write about my experience doing outrigger canoeing in Taitung. So stay tuned for that article.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to the article, and I'm looking forward to the radio program as well. Mm-hmm. The radio program that we will do on your experience in Taitung. We can get all into outrigging. Mm-hmm. And then for those of you who live here locally, perhaps you can try out outrigging, like right here. You don't even need to go to Hawaii.
Right. Yeah, you can do it right here on the island. Our island.
Yes, our island. But for those of you who have a chance to go to Hawaii, I think these 3 days maybe has given you more reasons to visit Hawaii. It sure has given me more reasons. I've always wanted to visit Hawaii and haven't done yet. But I do hope to do so in the near future. So on that note, we need to sign off on today's program. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Linda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.